All right, now that you're seated, you know what it's time to do? We got a scripture that we're going to be memorizing now this month of Psalm 27:1 last month. So we're going to be learning this one this month. Many of you may already know it, but it's a good one. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. One more time. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. And by the way, that's the anchor scripture for the teaching tonight in our journey in Prayer School 101. This is the second week. And we're going to be talking tonight about grace-empowered prayer. And we're going to do that out of the scripture that we're memorizing this month. And so I look forward to kind of diving into this with you. I've preached on this text a number of times through the almost 40 years in June since I preached my first message. And I've preached on this a number of times. But the Lord just led me to look at this a little differently tonight and wrap it around the idea of grace-empowered prayer. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, always give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, let's just jump right into that, just a time of teaching tonight. And I want you to notice, if you will, that these are some of the shortest verses you'll find in the New Testament, grouped together. And each one of them contains a life-changing truth. Every one of the verbs here, rejoice, pray, and give thanks, all of those verbs in the original language are what are called present imperatives. Present intense, which means that you are to act on them and continue to act on them. It has the idea of ongoing, repeated action. So, not just one time do you rejoice, but because it's present tense, you should always be rejoicing, okay? Continuously. And then, of course, imperative means what? A command. These are not suggestions that Paul is giving to the Thessalonians. They are commands. And because it's Scripture, he's inspired by the Spirit, they are commands from the Lord to us. To choose to rejoice is not an option. It's an option you can choose to rejoice. But if you choose not to, that's also a decision to disobey the Scripture. And sometimes I flunk on that one. Pray always, imperative, present. And give thanks. These are constants in the Christian life. So we're going to break them apart tonight and wrap it around the idea of grace-empowered prayer. So, first of all, look, it says, always rejoice through God's supply of grace. Now, why would I say it that way? Why would I say it that way? I've underlined this. That verse up there, rejoice always. That word rejoice actually contains the name of our daughter in it, Kara. It's part of that. We named our daughter Kara Beth. Kara means joy. Beth means house. She's our house of joy. That's her name. But I want you to notice that these three words, grace and joy and to rejoice, all have the same root word, which is the word charis. It means grace. When you see the word grace in the New Testament, you're most certainly, most of the time, looking at the word charis. Just like charismatic comes from the Greek word charismata, which means grace gifts. Gifts that God graces us with through His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit gives them to us, but they are empowered by God's grace. So charis, grace. Grace is God's power to do God's will. It also has the idea of moving on our will. Because there's a sense in which when we start receiving grace, we're receiving the power to do God's will. But to do God's will, our will has to shift in alignment with His will. So grace not only is a spiritual substance that's it's power, it's energy, it's the life and energy of God flowing to us, helping us to live the Christian life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I labored more abundantly than you all, yet not I, but the grace of God which He gave me. In other words, He did what He did by grace. How did you get saved? Because of something you did? You got saved because God graced you. His power came upon you and applied the blood of Jesus, cleansed you through, and by the Spirit adopted you into the family. So grace is a heavy-duty word in Scripture. We named this place Grace House. We want it to be a place where people encounter God's grace to receive His power for living, supply, the supply of grace that comes through His Holy Spirit and through His Word. So always rejoice through God's supply of grace. The word joy, charis, joy, kara, and then kairo means to rejoice. It's just a different ending for the word joy there. And so if you put the root of the word and all of it together, it's the idea of being able to respond to whatever life is throwing at you. In the middle of whatever's going on in your life, in your world, in the moment, to rejoice means that you are receiving God's grace. And with the grace that you're receiving, you're responding to life. You're not responding to it based on what you're able or not able to do. And that always is a cause for rejoicing. It's the idea to, I put it in parentheses for you there, to be in joy because of grace that God supplies. No matter what you're facing, God promises you grace. We've studied Hebrews 4 a number of times about we can go into the throne room of grace and receive grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. The grace that saves us is the grace that will sustain us. And so to rejoice means that you are always rejoicing. You can rejoice and you are able to rejoice because God will give you grace to deal with the thing that wants to make you do the opposite of rejoice. And if you think about what is opposite of rejoice, you've got words like this. Instead of rejoicing, grieving, regretting, bemoaning, lamenting, being annoyed, being vexed, being irked, bugged, aggravated, irritated, complaining, being insulting, inflaming others, and so forth. You can add a long list of to pester, to peeve, to depress, to discourage, to dishearten. All of those are options. When that bad day comes along, all of those are options. When the sound's not working, all of those are options. When the rain's coming down and it's time to go outside, when you get up and it's too cold, or when you're having to work overtime and you don't want to, and you get home and you've got something to fix, or the clothes are piled up, or the kids are, and on and on and on and on. Because we are commanded to rejoice by God, I guarantee you, and I'm saying that with the realization that I always don't appropriate that grace to respond like I ought to. I doubt I'm the only one in the room, but I am just self-disclosing, okay? But this verse, if He commands it, God's not going to ask you to do something that you're unable to do or that He is not willing to enable you to do. So we can rejoice through the hope that God supplies us. So when the grumblies come knocking at your door and you open it up and there they are. You know, you can either just invite them in and let them take over, or you can just say, you know what, not today. I've got grace and I can deal with this in God's way. With the supply and strength, whatever I need, grace will give that to me. So, this scripture, rejoice always, has at its heart the idea of grace. Now, the next one, verse 17, always consistently and persistently pray. Always. Pray without ceasing. Again, this is an imperative. And it's interesting here because the other two verbs are what's called present imperative actives, where it's the subject of the verb, like you're rejoicing, it's something you're doing. You're receiving grace and you're doing it with that grace. And when we get to giving thanks, it's something that you're doing, you're acting on it. But this one is, and what is called a middle passive, it's a middle passive verb, which means you are participating in the action, you're performing the action, but you're also going to receive a benefit for having performed the action. You're going to be acted upon. So it's a beautiful idea because that's exactly what happens when we pray. God doesn't have us to pray for His benefit. It's for our benefit. And sometimes we consider that prayer is laborious. Now, sometimes prayer can be war, and you can prevail in prayer. Now, I'm not saying it can't be tiring. But the truth is, we are benefited most when we're praying. Something spiritual is happening when we pray. We talked about this last week in the Lord's Prayer. We are communicating with God, and we are receiving from God answers, encouragement, and so forth. And so Paul says to pray always. Now, it's interesting because he uses this same word to always here several times to the Thessalonians. In chapter 1, verse 3, he talks to them about, I'm constantly bearing in mind your work. What he meant was that regularly it's coming to his mind about how hard the Thessalonians worked. In Thessalonians 2:13, for this reason we also constantly thank God. Well, if he was continually thanking God for them without stopping, in the sense of, okay, I'm going to start running, I'm going to do a Forrest Gump and never stop. You know, no, it's not really that idea. It's about regularly, consistently, persistently. Daniel, the Bible says he prayed three times a day. Jesus would often draw aside regularly and pray. And we see here Paul is saying that prayer should be established as a constant in our lives. That's the idea here. It's interesting because if you, in the word study on this, it has the idea of not going into remission. And we understand that if someone's battling cancer and they've been treated and they go to the doctor and they do the scans and the doctor says, you're in remission. That means it's not there anymore. You know, it's not active. It's not happening. It's not doing anything. So the idea here about praying always is there shouldn't be a season when you're in remission in the area of prayer where you're not praying, not doing anything, not acting on God's command to pray. It's to be a constant in our life. And I encouraged you last week, and I know some of you have mentioned to me that you've been praying the Lord's Prayer every day. And I encourage you just to continue that and let it blossom and let it bear fruit. And that's in my pattern right now. That's usually the first thing I do in the morning when I wake up, is I begin with the Lord's prayer. Try to pray it meaningfully, in faith. And it can become a springboard for all kinds of other prayer. So, we're to always consistently and persistently pray. Pray without ceasing. In Acts 2:42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." Same idea, steadfastly in fellowship. Same idea, steadfastly in the breaking of bread. Same idea, steadfastly in prayers. And that word steadfastly there means to attend constantly. It's a different Greek word, but it's very similar here. It's the same idea. So we see that not only did Paul say this is a command for us, but we see it was a practice of the early church. They continued steadfastly in prayers. So keep a watch. You know, be watchful and pray, but be watchful of your own prayer. Are you constant in prayer? So we are to rejoice always, pray without ceasing. And then we come to verse 18. The third thing is to always, we're to be always grateful for the goodness of God's grace. Now, this is where this begins to tie together, because it's interesting that the first, this Paul says to rejoice always, that's that word kara, and here he says to give thanks, be always grateful, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And by the way, the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, I believe, is anchored to all the preceding. Not just giving thanks, but rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and always giving thanks. All of that's the will of God in Christ Jesus for each of us. These are like anchor truths for us. So, it's interesting here, if you'll notice that last part there, it says, the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And you put all of this together. You see, we have access to the grace of God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Our access to God, and we're learning this on Sunday as well, that our access to God is through Christ and Christ alone. See, like, you're a child of God and you have access to God, right? But you have access to God through Jesus. The way it works, it's not like Jesus over here and you're over here and he's got his own relationship to God and you got your own relationship to God. It's like when you got saved, God took you and put you here in Jesus. And so you're relating to him in Christ. That's the reason we pray in his name. And that word in is interesting because in the Greek, there's different prepositions that are used. And like you may have the preposition ek, which means like a motion out of something. Or you may have the preposition like the preposition ice, which means motion into. But here is the word in, the transliteration. It's the Greek word, and it has the idea of being in the sphere. It's like if there was a circle here, if I was in the circle and I moved out, that would be one preposition. If there was a circle there and I was moving toward it, that would be a different one. But if I was in the circle, that would be the word that's here, in. I'm in the sphere. I'm in the realm. I am in. You are in Christ Jesus. So the will of God for you in Christ Jesus is to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks. And this word to give thanks is a beautiful word. It's the word Eucharisto. You can hear the word Eucharist. For some of you particularly, that may be Anglican or Catholic. You've got Catholic or Anglican or Episcopalian in your history. You probably hear that more than you would in other churches, but Eucharist, which is used to explain communion. It's the idea of giving of thanks, and it's. I wanted to read a word, the actual word study here, eucharisteo, is this word. And it's from two words meaning good and grace. It's got that same root word in it. You can see that there. The word, literally the word charis. And the word, the EU, it means good. And the word charis means grace. So it's good grace. It's good grace. So literally, it's being thankful for God's good grace. So it's just interesting to me here that in the construct of this, it's rejoice always. You can respond to what's going on in the right way, which is called rejoicing, with joy. You can respond because of the supply of God's grace that's given you in the situation that you're facing. And you're to pray constantly, always, persistently, consistently. And you are to be thankful for God's good grace, that He gives you grace. Like you receive the grace and you can rejoice out of the grace you receive. But the giving thanks is rooted in, God, thank you for giving me that grace that I need so that I can respond and experience joy. And in the middle of that is prayer. And all three of them together is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So, what encourages me about these truths is that we have the promise of a supply of grace. And the way that we appropriate and live in that grace and receive that grace and the benefits of it is to make sure we're responding with joy. That's the reason that even in grieving, we do not have to sorrow as though that have no, those that have no hope. Why? God gives us grace. And we have hope. Because we're in Christ Jesus. And He's coming back someday. And when He comes back, if we're still living, we're going to be translated and we're going to be called up to Him. And the dead in Christ, they're going to be raised from the dead. There's going to be given glorified bodies as their spirits that return with Jesus are reunited with their bodies. So that's the reason we don't have to sorrow as those that have no hope, because we know that even death will not bring to a conclusion God's good grace for us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And when He comes back, we'll be given a glorified body just as He had or has. And so all of this is really, to me, a picture of grace-empowered prayer. And often it is the simple truths of Scripture, when consistently obeyed, that will bring great benefits and blessings in our life. If we somehow could get the revelation that no matter what comes around the curve at us, no matter what's on the other end of the line on that phone call, no matter what it is, that we have the assurance and promise that God will give us what we need to respond in a way that will not bring ruin to our lives, but bring blessing to us. If we can rejoice, if we can be joyful, and we can be prayerful, and we can be thankful, it will be amazing the difference those three truths will unleash in our lives. I guarantee you, it would completely change the whole city of Florence, Alabama, If all the believers could just flow at a much greater percentage rate in these three things than we currently do. It's the difference between having a good day and a bad day. It's the difference between becoming depressed or being able to still have a song in your heart. It's the difference in being discouraged or knowing, hey, I'm up and I'm at it again. God is with me. I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. How does that strength come to us? Through God's grace. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. I mention that often. Again, we're in Christ. And Christ is part of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The fact that we are invited to commune with the Holy Trinity is awesome. The fact that the truth, because truth is greater than facts, actually. The truth that we can converse with the God of the universes. The truth that the same Jesus who died on the cross and shed his blood for us has promised us he will never leave us nor forsake us. He said, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. The truth that the Holy Spirit, our constant companion, indwelling us, empowering us with God's grace to live the Christian life. All God is a constant. You know, the Father, the Son, the Spirit are constants in our life. If we could just be constant about what His promise has, what His promises assure us of. Because He's going to be constant. His Word's going to be constant. Jesus is going to be constant. The Holy Spirit's going to be constant. If we could just constantly realize who we are in Christ and receive that grace to respond and live our lives and have gratitude in our heart, always thanking God for His grace. When you really appreciate something, you usually will express thanks for that. When we start taking something for granted, then we start feeling entitled. And I love the fact that Paul wrote enough for us to know that he tried to stay in that place. He said, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He never lost sight of the fact of who he was before he met Christ. Jesus had to suffer no less to save any of us than he did to save the most notorious person that's ever been saved. Our sins separated us no less from God than the worst person that's ever lived in human terms. And yet God, in His grace and His mercy, called us to Himself, saved us, cleansed us from our sin, put His Spirit in us. And it's connected us together here as a church family and given us a vision to touch the world. And the heartbeat of our Christian life in the middle of that is just our communion with God, our prayer. And there's a lot of different ways that prayer will manifest. We'll talk about those as we move through this simple school of prayer that we're having on Wednesday night. But tonight, I just wanted to take this scripture and impress upon your hearts that if you can just choose to respond in all situations through the grace that God gives you, with a heart that's full of gratitude, thanking God for giving His good grace to you, then you'll be able to sustain a life of prayer in which your heart and your desires will reflect more and more God's heart and God's desire. And this helps us to live right in the center of God's will. I love the idea of this word for prayer that we find when he says, pray without ceasing. because it's really the idea of in your conversation and communion with God, there is the shifting of our desires to align with His desires. And when that's happening, we start receiving grace. And that means now we're doing God's will. We're in the will of God as we act out of that. So, there's a lot of grace. There's an abundance of grace. I love the old hymn that we sang growing up. His grace was greater than all our sin. Right out of the scripture. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. It'll go down to the lowest low, pick you up, and put you back in a solid place. So God, thank you tonight for your grace. Help us to be a grateful people for your grace. Help us, Lord, to minimize the time we spend complaining about what we don't have. And to maximize the time we spend on thanking you for the glorious grace that we always have. Always there, because you are faithful. You are faithful, O Lord. I want you to stand with me tonight. Bow your heads for a moment. I don't know, we may be able to play some music back there. I want to ask you a few questions just for you to have a few contemplative moments here. Are you a joyful person? Are you a joyful person? What's your track record of response? How often, how regularly, how frequently are you communicating with God? Not trying to create guilt, but to encourage us to step more fully into the light of God's Word. Because think of all the grace that we haven't appropriated that we could have. All the difference that could have been made in our life if we'd just responded right to that situation instead of becoming angry or losing our temper or, you know, upset or irritated. You are powerful in Christ. You have access to God's grace. You can be a joyful person. I can be a joyful person. We can be a joyful people. We're invited to pray. Let's do it. Let's do it more often. Are you thankful? If I were to ask your best friend, is she or is he a grateful person? What would your best friend say? What would your spouse say? What would your children say? Are you grateful? We're commanded to always give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, forgive us. Lord, cleanse us tonight. I think it would be appropriate for us just to hold our hands out to Him and from in our hearts, Lord, forgive us for not rejoicing and doing something else. Forgive us for our criticizing, our complaining, our being frustrated and irritable. And forgive us, O Lord. Cleanse us. Cleanse us. And Lord, by faith tonight, we receive grace that you give, you promised to be joyful. And we're committed tonight to be a more joyful people. Lord, forgive us for our failure to pray as often as we should. Cleanse us from prayerlessness. Forgive us for things that would have happened, should have happened, could have happened, had we only prayed. Forgive us, Lord. And we receive your grace that empowers us to pray as we ought. Help us, Lord, May there be a yes in every heart in the room to be more prayerful. And Lord, forgive us for not being thankful. Not having humble hearts that are filled with gratitude, but for times that we may be proud or arrogant, condescending, or feeling entitled, or feeling like we deserve this or deserve that. And Lord, forgive us for those wrong attitudes, those obstacles that block the flow of your grace in our heart and life, God. Just cleanse us of those tonight. Our complaining, our criticizing, our grumbling. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us. And we commit to open our hearts to let grace flow. And to be thankful, Lord, for your good grace that touches our lives, that comes into our lives. I'm going to ask some of our prayer team members just to be at the front here. And if there are any of you who have need of prayer tonight, there'll be some here. If some of you will come on each side, just come on up. Some of our leaders, staff, please, just come on up and be here. If you have need of prayer tonight, maybe you need someone to pray with you for healing. There's some breakthrough that you're contending for. Some need, some pressing need. Someone you're concerned about, a burden you're bearing. If you need prayer, I just encourage you to come. And also, before we go, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we will have our prayers of healing, ministry time here. And actually, we're going to be meeting in here this Saturday. And I think we'll have more room to do what we need to do. And those of you that have indicated that you want to serve on this, I encourage you to come. And others of you, feel free to just come during that hour and sit in the room in the atmosphere and be praying. We'll have music playing. We'll have scriptures that will be rotating on the screens. And would you pray, even if you can't come, pray that there would be an anointed, healing atmosphere Saturday as we meet by faith. We've been advertising this on The Fix, and we'll be the next few days particularly reminding people on social media. But we're believing God for miracles. And if you're part of our fellowship and you may have received a lot of prayer for what you're going through physically, but you come and you can come and you can, we'll have chairs where you can just sit, you can soak, and people will come and minister to you, encourage you, have words from the Lord for you at times. Gifts of the Spirit flow a lot of times in these meetings. And we've just seen God touch a lot of people. So, There won't be any preaching or anything like that. It's just a time to get in God's presence and claim the promises of His Word for healing and to do what He said, to minister to people, to lay hands on the sick, to anoint them with oil, and ever how the Holy Spirit leads us person by person. And we also will need a few of you that would be willing to come and just be in the commons area and welcome people and direct them in here. If you would be willing to do that, please let me know after the service as well, okay? We want to have a welcoming atmosphere for people. And some of them may need help getting in and out of their car. So pray for that. We're launching another step we're taking in this year, 2023. We'll be doing this the first Saturday of each month. And we're announcing the time to between 9 and 10. And those of you who are praying, we may be here, you know, we'll, ever how long we need to. But I'd like for you to be here 15 or 20 minutes early as well. So, Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for all you're doing, all that you're going to do, all that you have done. We bless your name tonight. And would you just say out loud, thank you, Lord Jesus. I choose tonight to be joyful, to be prayerful, to be thankful, for this is your will for my life in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here, and this altar's open. People are here to pray with you.